today on Real Radio.
Without God, I would say to the God I would claim not to believe in, where were you when this was happening to me? Well, now that I'm a Christian, I say, so that's where you were. Through the pain, through the sufferings, through the issues, through the embarrassment, through the rejection, you were there. And God says to me, yes, Jack, I was preparing you for this moment.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Your God Calling, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. I'm David Jay. Thanks for taking the time to spend some time with us here in God's Word. God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to Him so that He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 5, we looked at how Isaiah delivers a poem to the people of Israel in the form of a parable. The poem is about a vineyard which represents the nation of Israel, and God made this vineyard beautiful, plentiful, and safe. The Lord had expectations of a good harvest, but when the people rebelled against Him, God sent 6 judgments upon them. And when they still refuse to repent, well, they'll be captured and carried away by their enemies. Now in chapter 6, we'll see how we're all called to be saints and how much our calling and commission from God really matters. So today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack asks, when did our calling from God come? Before we were born, God had His hand on us, called us by grace. God knew we would become a believer, and God knows every pain that we've ever been through or will go through. He also knew that we will be restored through His Son, Jesus Christ. And now, continuing his lesson called Your God Calling, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He didn't save you to set you on a mantle or on a shelf or display you. He saved you and I because He's got a job for us to do. And Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. King Uzziah was amazing. You studied him in the introduction of this book. He reigned for 52 years. Imagine having an awesome president that you respect and one that loves the nation and the people and defends your country for 52 years. A reformer and a one that was absolutely gifted to the people, and the people loved Uzziah. In fact, you know what? Outside of King David, Solomon, Uzziah, Israel's never had a king like him since. Did he have his flaws? Yes. But he was an amazing man of God. 52 years he led the nation. Can you imagine having a president for 52 years that was a good one? Imagine that. He says, listen, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Some scholars believe that the king's prominence over the nation stood in the way of Isaiah seeing the Lord. You know, there's a tendency we have that. I got to tell you right now, maybe it's different for you, but when Ronald Reagan was president, I didn't pray so much, I'll confess. You think, listen, those of you who are around in the early days, you know how long ISIS would have lasted with Ronald Reagan in office? Why are you laughing? You already know the answer. There couldn't have been one with Reagan in office. I didn't pray much because you felt safe. You felt like there was a man, by the way, he loved the Lord. You had to read about his life with him and Michael Reagan, his son, as he would teach Bible study at Palisades Church. Just up the coast here, north of LA Harbor. Michael Reagan said he would never miss a Sunday. They would drive from Santa Barbara every Sunday morning to his church to teach Sunday school. You felt safe. But I got to tell you, in these last 6-7 years, I've prayed more for our president than I've ever prayed for any president ever. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he not only saw the Lord, he saw all of the things that surround God. Think about it. In the year that King Uzziah died, listen, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon his throne. Listen, no matter how bad it gets in the world, let's remember this, Christian. God is still seated upon his throne. And then nothing changes that. He is King. And he is Lord. And the design of God is upon the calling of the prophet. And so it is in your life. Look at verse 2. And above it stood the seraphim. Isaiah's calling appears to be getting the attention of the angelic host. It's a powerful thing. If you think about it, this overwhelming glory that Isaiah sees. And he not only sees the glory of God, but he sees these unusual beings, seraphim. And the Bible tells us that as Isaiah looks at the throne and the glory of all that is there, in verse 2, the seraphim stand. The I am on the end of that word seraphim. The word seraph is, in the Hebrew, a fiery one or a burning one. It's a very unique thing. You ought to circle that and write that down. A burning one or a fiery one. Why is it important? Because seraphim are not cherubim. And by the way, the picture, the little carving of the cherubim over your grandmother's bathroom toilet seat is not the right depiction of a cherubim either. You know those little babies with the stubby wings, the fat babies with the little arrow? Oh, look at the little cherub. That's what they call them, you know. If you saw a cherub, you'd pass out. It's not a little chubby baby with a bow and arrow. A cherub is pretty awesome. There are accounts in the Bible when men of God saw cherubim and they freaked out in fear. Okay. A seraphim is something different than a cherubim. A seraphim apparently has 6 wings. A cherubim at best in scriptures recorded of having 4. Doesn't mean they're any less. They're just different. There's different types of angelic creatures in heaven. There's the 4 living creatures. Go figure out what those are. Because it doesn't matter what scholar you read. Some scholars pick them as this. Some scholars pick them at that. The answer is we don't know. But we see them in the book of Revelation. We see them in Ezekiel. There's the 4 living creatures. There's angels, a myriad of angels, so many that you can't count them. There's archangels. Ooh, Michael was an archangel. It appears possibly, I believe it is true, where Michael, by the way, as an archangel, is always involved in warfare. Whenever you find Michael in the Bible, he's fighting. And must be terrifying. But Gabriel seems to be an archangel who doesn't fight, but he's an announcer. He seems specifically ordained to the nation of Israel, Gabriel. Michael as well, but in a different deployment of warfare. Angelic beings. Isn't it amazing to think? They're unlike anything that we can imagine. They are powerful spirit creatures. They're created. They can't be redeemed. Did you know that? They're unredeemable. If they fall, they can't be redeemed. Thus, Satan. Remember what Satan's name is? Lucifer? Bright one, shining one, or morning star brightness. The Bible says that Lucifer, in the day that he was created in perfect beauty. He was given perfect wisdom. Satan was the most powerful created, I believe, archangel that God ever made. Isaiah 14 is going to tell us that it went to his head. Isn't that weird? He got arrogant. That's heavy. But the Bible tells us that there are these orders of angels. And Isaiah says, I see the seraphim. And they have these 6 wings. And notice in the presence of God, they cover their face as well. That's always pretty amazing. And verse 3 says that one cried to another. Imagine the sound. One is crying out, saying, holy, holy, holy. 3 times, by the way. Remember that. 3 times. One shouts. The others are listening. Do they do this in stereo? Apparently, possibly. But regardless, Isaiah sees the heavenly scene. And when they shout, listen, the post of the heavenly temple begins to shake. We don't even know what that's like. We can't even imagine. But think about this. The calling of God comes to Isaiah. This is his calling. And so listen, this is a test. When did God actually call Isaiah? When did God actually, biblically, theologically call Isaiah? Was it at this event that you're watching, or was it before that event? Good, it's before the event. Hey, listen, if you're a Christian tonight, then you've been called. When did you get your calling? When did that happen? Now, you may be realizing it as Isaiah's realizing it, but when did it happen? Well, let's start first of all in the Old Testament. Jot it down if you would. When does our calling come? Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Who's saying this? God is. To who? Jeremiah. You see, yeah, but Jack, that's what he's saying to Jeremiah. I believe God says it to every one of his children. You may not be called a prophet to the nations, but you are called from your mother's womb. God knows this. Don't even try to figure it out. It's impossible. God knows. God knows. And I am a firm believer in this, that no matter how your life has gone, no matter how your life has been, up until the point of becoming a Christian, I believe, and if you disagree, don't tell me, because you hurt my feelings. I look back over my life and what I know about my life from its beginnings, and if I were not a Christian, I would be a drunk. If I were not a Christian, I would have been a drug addict. Why? Because I wasn't wanted. Because of rejection. Because of, let me play my violin. I would have been an adult version of what I was young. Angry, bitter, and let me hurt anybody that gets in my way to vent that pain. And then Jesus came into my life and made sense of it all. Oh, it clicked. You mean this? Yep, I was in that. You mean that? I was bringing you through that. What about this? In other words, without God, I would say to the God I would claim not to believe in, where were you when this was happening to me? Well, now that I'm a Christian, I say, so that's where you were when you were right there. Through the pain, through the sufferings, through the issues, through the embarrassment, through the rejection, you were there. And God says to me, yes, Jack, I was preparing you for this moment. I was preparing you when you were 9 years old. I was preparing for you to be 57 years old. And now I get to step back and say, you know what, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. It's good with me. Oh, I hope you know that. Oh man, I hope you're not walking around saying, well, you know what? I would have been this if they would have been nicer to me. I could have really achieved some stuff if they would have been kinder to me. Listen, you're literally defeating yourself. You're ruining your own life. God says, listen, you were brought into a fallen world. This world is full of injustice, pain, and sorrow. But I'm the Lord. I'm the great Redeemer. I take those things that would normally kill somebody, and because now I'm in your life, I'm going to take those things and I'm going to wrap them in my will. I'm going to educate you through them and by them, and I'm going to apply my healing balm upon your life, and then I'm going to package you up and send you out and use you because of those things you went through. And all of a sudden, you want to embrace those things. We're no longer victims. We're victors in Christ. That's the fact. That's the truth. And I love it. If you disagree, don't tell me. I said it. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But listen, when God calls you out of this world, listen to what he says to us in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's a mouthful of blessing, man. That is ginormous. Gee whiz. just as he chose us in him, that's Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. Did you know that? Are you a Christian tonight? Yeah, I became a Christian 3 years ago, or last Sunday, or 25 years ago. That's awesome. Did you know that God was at work before you were even born and knew you'd become a believer? This shouldn't surprise you. He's eternal. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow. He knows who's going to be born, who's going to die. He's God. Ephesians 1, verse 3 continues, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You know who the beloved is, right? Jesus. Remember I talked about being saints earlier? That's why. That's how. Has Jesus Christ accepted you? He accepts you if you say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again from the grave for me. I can't save myself, but you said you'd save me. Jesus, I submit to you. Like those who did on last Sunday. They submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to his saving grace. And look what he says. All the pain you went through, all the life that you went through. He says, I was at work. Now it's going to make sense as you learn more of me and as you know more of my word. Your life is all going to come into place and it's all going to be, as it were, shaken into order. It's going to fall into place and then you're going to see that I've called you. Designed by God, your calling. Unique from all other people on earth, your calling is. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, consider the Apostle Paul's calling. Galatians 1:13 says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, stop right there. Isn't that funny? Isn't it amazing what he's saying? Are you catching this? Paul thought that in Judaism, by going out and beating up Christians, arresting them and having them killed, he was doing the will of God. Now he says, God, it turns out, was the one who separated me from my mother's womb. All the stuff I was involved with before was not his stuff. When I came to the knowledge of him, watch what he says. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, what is that? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Man, what a change. Has Jesus changed your life? Wow. Number two, jot it down if you would. Your God calling is found in verse 5. As it was with Isaiah, it will be impossible for you to carry out. It will be impossible for you to do. What will? Your calling. What? You mean I don't have what it takes to do it? Nope. I said it was a God calling. Well, wait a minute. I'm really physically strong. Maybe God's calling me to be an ultimate cage fighter. Probably not then. Probably not. Oh, listen, do you want to have your bubble burst? You know the Hebrews, the Jews. In fact, listen, when you and I grow up, or when you and I learn about Samson, how do you see Samson? There you go. Big guy. Big guy, muscly guy. A kind of guy like Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of guy. That's how we see him. Do you know the Hebrews? They're not tempted to think like we are. We think Hollywood. We think like that. Oh man, just tatted up muscle. What's your name? I'm Samson. I could crush you right here. Hey, you know, listen, you know who'd get all the glory? Samson would. The Hebrews, they never believed that. They still don't believe that to this day. Do you know what they believe? They believe Samson was just like me, just like you. Because when the power of God came upon him, the guy was able to do miraculous strengths, miraculous feats by God's strength. That makes more sense, huh? God gets the glory. If it's some, you know, Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk guy, then it's like, whoa! But if it's Barney Fife, or who would know? Okay, because I know there's generations in this building. So Barney Fife, for me growing up, Pee Wee Herman, who else? It's impossible. You say, well, you know what? My friend, he's a really, really good salesman down there at the car lot. I think you'd make a great evangelist. No. That's not how it works. Well, I've got a really big vocabulary. Do you think I should be a pastor? No. That's not how it works. God's calling upon your life. I hope you're all sitting down because this is going to come as a shock to you. God's calling upon your life will cause you to, let me think for a moment, freak out. When God begins to cook something on your heart, you're going to have a thought, and it's going to be like, hey, you know what? Somebody should do something about that situation. You'll be driving down the street. You'll be riding a bike. You'll be like, you know, whatever, and this thought will go across your mind. There's people dying in Iraq at the hands of terrorists. Somebody should do something about that. And then you're going to pause for a moment, and you're going to hear him say to you, I just gave you a thought across your mind. You're the one. And the first thought you might say, me? And you'll be overwhelmed. Notice, those of you who are involved in ministry that's called of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your first word is what the first word was from Moses. Hi, God, you're amazing. Awesome how you shook that mountain and all that stuff. Part of the Red Sea. I'm in full agreement up until right now. You're asking me to speak to the Pharaoh? Not going to do it. Jeremiah gets called by God. What does Jeremiah say? I'm only a kid. No one's going to listen to me. There's a long list of God's people who are called by God, and it's so impossible. What he asks you to do? You want to know why? Barney Fife? So God gets all the glory.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Your God Calling, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today, and there is a freedom in knowing that we don't have to earn our calling. Jesus has already paid the price. All we have to do is show up. Your God Calling, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of Jesus Christ over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Pastor Jack says we're all called by God for a purpose, but it's so important to start with the basics. That's why Pastor Jack has a selection on our website called Real Life Basics. The Real Life Basics videos are full of information about understanding the Bible, what it means to be a Christian, and how to grow in your relationship with God. Pastor Jack also walks us through questions about the Holy Spirit, about prayer, confession, and exercising your gifts, and a whole lot more. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or even better, download the free Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet for immediate on-the-go mobile access. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll be right back. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.